Hi everyone, welcome back to the Breakaway Tuition Podcast. It's Alicia here again today, and today I'm going to be talking to you about how to help our children use the internet safely. So we're up to episode number 5. I really hope that you've enjoyed what we've spoken about so far. We've had a particularly busy couple of weeks at Breakaway Tuition to start the school year, which is why episode 5 is a little late, but hopefully you'll still find something good to use within this. So if you haven't seen our socials, last Tuesday, the 5th of February, was Safer Internet Day. So this is a day that's actually celebrated in over 130 countries, and it's a global celebration. Well, they call it a celebration, but it's more of an awareness day. So the days like this are really designed to just help parents to keep in their minds different issues that their children might be faced with. And obviously with the rise of technology and the continual use of the internet, it's super important to be reminded of how we can actually teach our children to use the internet safely. There's on the market that allow you to block access to particular websites or particular types of sites for your children. They're not always going to be on devices where those particular safety guards are set up. So we know that in schools there are lots and lots of safety guards up on their internet systems so that kids can't access undesirable content. But at home it's always something that's a little bit difficult. So we never know if we are blocking too much content or they have access to too much content. And, you know, as a parent, it never matters how many things that you've put in place to safeguard your kids. They're always either going to find a way around it or they're going to be exposed to it somewhere else where you don't have control over what they're viewing and what they're doing. So in 2019, we're starting to use the internet for so many parts of our lives, and our kids have access to this even on iPods and their phones and tablets and computers, and it's just constant. You know, technology has taken over our lives and the way that we communicate with one another to such an extent that it can be quite worrying when our children are quite comfortable and equipped to talk to people online, but when it comes to face-to-face communication, where, you know, they need to have particular personable skills, they're not displaying these things because of the use of technology. I'm not sure if you've heard this before, but there's particular things that have been going around about Steve Jobs never used to let his kids use technology or computers when they're at home. And there are other computer, you know, people that have been developing computer systems and things that do the same thing. So it really makes you wonder if the people that are creating this technology are putting such limits on their children that they're not allowed to use this technology in their own homes. What kind of damage can this technology do to our children, and what are we allowing our children to be exposed to by allowing them to use these technologies within our own homes? Obviously, that's a massive can of worms. Everyone has different opinions on if kids should be allowed access, when they should be allowed, how much time they should be allowed. And I think one thing that you really need to keep in the forefront of your mind is that what works for one family isn't going to work for yours. So it doesn't matter how many things you read or how many people's opinions that you look at on a particular topic. If it doesn't fit your family, it's okay. You know, you are allowed to pick bits and pieces that work for your family to ensure that you are allowing your family the opportunity to use what they might need to use, or talk to who they might need to talk to, etc., etc., etc. But it's really important not to get bogged down in just because, you know, Joe Blow down the road is doing something with his family. It might work great for him, but it might not work at all for your kids. But there are some things that we do want to consider when using technology at home. A lot of the stuff that we, you know, never really think about is that when we are constantly using technology as adults, so or constantly on our phone or tablet or computer, our children see that and they see that as a social norm. Obviously, the safe internet day is nothing about that, but the things that we need to keep in our minds that it doesn't matter how old our children are, we're still modeling the behavior to our kids. And those expectations unconsciously, you know, actions speak louder than words. So if we're always engrossed in our phones or in other technology devices in our homes, then our kids see that. And our kids see that it's okay to be on a phone while you're talking to somebody else, or it's okay to constantly be using the computers and accessing the computers. And so we need to start setting up some boundaries within our homes so that we are showing our children, or we're modeling the behavior to our children of when's an appropriate time to use a computer, how we appropriately use the internet and the technology that's available to us, and then when it's time to shut it off and when it's time to just be present with your family and be away from technology. And I think that that is really valuable, and a really valuable thing to be talking to your children about and getting into place now. I've seen in the past 6 months or so, I can't quite remember, but there was a house that, you know, people were entering, and the idea was that they gave away their technology before they walked into the house for a weekend. And so there was no computers, there were no phones, there were no televisions, and all of the things that we seem to gravitate to today, there was none of that in the house. And so the family had to actually talk to each other face to face and go outside and play football and other games and explore the outside and play, you know, board games in the house and cook together and all of those things. And the things that were coming out from that was that being away from the technology meant that they were able to reconnect as a family, and they also as adults felt more relaxed after the experience. So these types of things are things that we, you know, might even look into ourselves. Who, you know, if we turn our phone off on the weekend and decide not to access our emails until Monday when we go back to work, not only is that showing our children that they're the most important thing in our lives, when we're with them, we're consciously with them and we're physically with them and we're all there, but it also gives us a break and lets us, you know, not worry about the constant bombardment that we have with the technology. And that type of bombardment is what our kids are being primed up to get used to, and it shouldn't be that way. So back onto the topic of safer internet. Sorry, I got a bit off topic there, but there's good food for thought to think about in the way that we're constantly using our technology. I think the best thing about the Australian Safer Internet Day was the slogan campaign that they decided to develop alongside it. So not only were they going along with the global day, which is Together for a Better Internet, and it's clearly highlighting that it's not just our children's responsibility to learn how to use internet properly, but it's also the parents, and that's also the teachers, and it's also grandma and granddad. It's everyone, including large stakeholders, those that are, you know, the social networking giants and websites. It's every single person that accesses this technology is, you know, job to make sure that we're all working together to make sure not only that it's a better internet, but more so a safer internet for our kids. We put in these provisions around, you know, don't talk to strangers, stranger danger, don't get into other people's cars, we watch our kids, we take our kids to the public toilets with us, all of those things that we do in our physical lives, sometimes we don't even think about those things in our digital life. So Australia's slogan or campaign slogan was extended to include the four R's of online safety, and they were looking at respect and the idea of individuals treating themselves and others the way that they like to be treated, responsibility, being accountable for actions and taking a stand when they felt that something was wrong, reasoning, so questioning what is actually real out there on the internet, and resilience, so being able to get back up when something tough happens within their lives or happens on the internet for them. So part of the idea of the four R's is that we're no longer keeping our children safe just from predators that might be online. We're keeping them safe from themselves, and we're keeping them safe from each other as well. And I think that's something that we often overlook. We don't think about keeping them safe from themselves. If they're posting things online that is not responsible of, is not a responsible thing for them to post, if they're posting images that are highly sexualized, if they're posting, you know, calling people names, posting and commenting on things and being quite negative to other people, that is also things that we don't normally think about and talking to our kids about. We don't normally think about having to talk to them about, you know, the way that we treat people can have lasting effects. It doesn't matter whether it's face-to-face or whether it happens on an online environment. People still hold on to that, and it still hurts people, and it can have very damaging effects on individuals and kids, and it can affect people well into their adulthood as well. There's studies to show that that is the case, but part of it is respecting one another. You know, going back to things like, you know, you want to talk to people the way that you wish to be spoken to yourself. And it doesn't matter whether it's online or whether it's face-to-face. Now, kids also don't realise that there's a lot of content online that once you post it, you can't delete it. It's there forever. That's, you know, one of the, you could say, downsides of online. The public profile that you set up now, if you're a teenager, will stay with you into your adulthood. There are cases of people being fired because of the way that they express themselves online, and there are cases of people, well, not even cases of people, people now check online profiles and message boards and things when they are going to hire an individual, and if there's anything untoward on their profiles or things that they aren't aligned to or the business isn't aligned to, they won't get a job. And so things that your child might have done or said online 10 years ago might still impact them 10 years into the future. And that's a lot of what you want to start talking to your kids about. I think the other thing that's really important is the idea of reasoning. So is what I'm seeing online real? In classes and in schools, there's only so much that teachers can do. Teachers only see them for that lesson or that period of time during the day that they have them. They don't see them at home. So we can only teach them so much in the classroom about the reality of online. We can set up profiles of our ideal selves online and hide the stuff that we don't want other people to know about our lives. So do we trust the person then? Do we trust someone that's online that we might not ever have met before, but they seem like a nice person and their profile online looks all good? You know, we don't post online, well, lots of people don't post online, the bits of their lives that they're not proud of. We post the things that we want other people to think of us about, of, you know. And so kids find it difficult to grapple with the idea of online also being a part of our reality as well, and that your online and offline lives are now interlinking so frequently that you need to be aware of those things. You know, it goes all around self-esteem building and, you know, bullying. That all of those issues is what this year's slogan for Safe Internet Day for Australia is focusing on. I remember being in the classroom and a child telling me that YouTube was real, so not even considering that even a film or a documentary is created in a way that there is a bias towards the topic that it's looking at. So not even considering that, you know, they'd watched a documentary on the Twin Towers, so back in 2001, and they had said that there was video showing everything leading up to it and then the plane crashing and all the conspiracy theories around that. And that was their reality for them because they saw it on a documentary, and so that was all real. And, you know, the particular person didn't even consider, it didn't even enter into their mind that that was restaged and dramatized and all of those types of things. And that's what documentaries and filmmakers do. They pick parts of things that they want to use to show a particular topic that they're talking about, so it's not reality. And, you know, celebrities online and posting all these images of themselves and here and there and dressed this way and that way and, you know, Instagram influencers and those types of things, what they're posting isn't their reality. It's what they want people to see them to be. And so it's making sure that we are telling our children and emphasizing to our children the difference between, you know, actual reality and the reality that we see online. You know, that also goes into information. So if they're looking up information online, trying to give them the skills to find exactly who's written that information and what authority they have of that information and where they've got their information from, and knowing that, you know, anyone can write a Wikipedia article or edit a Wikipedia article, so we don't want to go to Wikipedia first when we're doing some research. So it all sort of runs into those types of things as well that make it more difficult for kids nowadays. You know, when I was at school, we still use the books in the library, and obviously non-fiction books have an authority on what they're talking about. Most of the time we obviously learn about bias and all of those bits and pieces, but it wasn't like anybody could just write and publish a book. So aside from all of that, there's some things that you want to really consider about technology use within your home. And, you know, let's be honest, it doesn't matter how much we try to keep our kids safe, and it doesn't matter how many extra measures we put in place for their safety or how much we provide them with support and teach them about responsible use of the internet or technology, we're never going to be able to keep our kids in that bubble. We need to be really honest about that. We can try our hardest as parents, and that's the best that we can do. And we just have to hope that our children are listening to us and that they take our advice and the things that we put in place quite seriously to learn about the dangers of technology and how to use that correctly. So some of the things that you could talk to your kids about are about keeping passwords safe. I know there's lots of parents that make sure that they've got the username and password to anything that their kids would use online, including Facebook and Instagram and Twitter. They have those passwords and those usernames, and that is part of the agreement between the child and the parent of them using those technologies. You want to talk to your kids about keeping their passwords safe, though. The amount of times that kids have said someone had hacked their Facebook account and then posted all these things that weren't from them is, I can't count the amount of times that I've seen that. You know, you want to make sure that they don't even tell their best friend their password and username, and that we remind them that they want to update their password and username for all different things every 3 to 6 months. We're told to do that ourselves. I'm not sure many of us actually do, but we want to try and make sure that our kids do that. One of the other things that you want to consider is that the use of computers and computers usage is only done in an open space within the house where you can see exactly what they're doing on the computer and there's high traffic. So like a kitchen or a dining room where you can clearly see what they are doing and what they're accessing online. Obviously, with phones and tablets and iPads and iPods and all of those things that we can actually access the computer or technology with, you're wanting to put strong parameters around those. When we think that our kids wouldn't do those things if they are locked away in their bedroom and we don't have access and we can't see what they're doing, we don't know what they are doing, and as much as we want to be able to put trust in our kids to do the right thing, particularly before they're in year 11 and 12, we really just want to make sure that we're putting in those extra precautions. You know, you want to try and keep phones and iPads and tablet devices out of their bedrooms, not just for, you know, monitoring their internet usage, but also so that their brains associate their bedroom with a place of rest. You know, kids need to be able to switch off. There's evidence regarding the blue light that devices give off and reducing the melatonin that our bodies need to produce to help our bodies to sleep or to help us sleep or to help us rest. And so the blue light emitted by these devices diminish that. And so kids can't sleep. So they struggle to sleep. It goes with computer games. Blue lights that are emitted off computer games, if your child is constantly playing them, then they're not giving their bodies that time to wind down and relax. And there's also, I've read evidence of, if they're always in a darkened room, then they're confusing their body clock as well, because they're not getting that sunlight and it's not, you know, this is the daytime, this is the nighttime. They're always in that constant nighttime phase. And so obviously that then goes on to affect mental health issues as well. If you're not getting enough sleep, if your child's not getting enough sleep, if they're not producing their melatonin to get that sleep, then their body isn't getting time to slow down and relax and unwind. And then we start having more and more anxieties and moods and all of those types of things roll into that. But that's not what we're talking about right now. You know, you want to teach your kids the laws around internet usage. It's not just a free-for-all. You can't just say whatever you want. You need to make sure that you're really meticulous in teaching them that there are laws around internet usage, and if you misuse the internet, then it goes to the police. You can go to court if you use the internet wrong. You really need to hammer that home, because as kids, sometimes they think that they're untouchable and they can't do anything wrong because they're a child, but you need to make it really clear to them that that's not actually the case, and that they, you know, you do need to teach them how to interact respectfully with other people online, or friends and things online. Also, teaching them about resilience is really important, and you know, how to maintain a really strong identity for themselves and continue to get up when people hurt them. with technology, like I've said during this podcast, people sometimes think they can say whatever they want and that there's no repercussions for that. But you need to teach a child that even when they don't want to, you need to get up and you need to keep moving forward. You know, resilience online has become such a massive issue because we're always bombarded with content that's not realistic. So we see the skinny, you know, celebrities and think that we have to look skinny like that to be able to do A, B and C. You know, we want to teach them to be really strong in who they are and their beliefs and help them celebrate what makes them special and unique, because when we are bombarded continually with these images and these things that we think people, we have to do this, this and this if we want to be like that, well, they're always going to find it difficult, not just in their physical, you know, face-to-face environment and, you know, being resilient against what people say to you in that type of environment, but then how do we do that on an online environment? How do we develop that thick skin and water off a duck's back sort of analogy that we tend to use? Monitoring your child's time that they use in the internet and computer games and online technology. I've sort of gone through that before, but you really want to put time limits on your children. And also setting up meal times where there's no phone and computers and engaging with them face to face. Not only is teaching them how to engage with people, but also teaching them that those things are more important than being connected to technology all of the time. I say as my phone goes off in the background, sorry about that. But it doesn't, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter how many different things we try and put in place for our kids, there's always going to be something new coming out that we need to just try and sidestep. So, you know, I hope that you have got some value out of this podcast. I've sort of gone all over the place a little bit, but, you know, I think the main thing is remembering that what works for your family might not work for a friend's family, but you need to really make these connections for your children, and we all need to work together to make sure that our kids are safe online, are aware of the dangers of online and continual technology use, and that we're equipping them with those skills, because we can't expect that schools are equipping them with those skills all the time. We need to take some of that responsibility at home, and we need to make sure that we're setting up those boundaries for our children relating to technology. Anyway, I hope you all have a really lovely day. Thanks for joining me today on episode number 5, and I'll catch you next week. Have a good week. Bye.